It is Wednesday, March the 6th, 2013. I am Steve Growick, the webmaster of www.gerweck.net, Growick.net, your source for all your pro wrestling news since 1997. And somebody I've been following for a long time that I've been meaning to catch up with for quite a while as well, a former TNA Knockout. She worked with Shimmer and works all across the country, including River City Wrestling. Today, it's my distinct pleasure to welcome cheerleader Melissa to Gerweck.net, and it's long overdue. And how are you doing tonight, cheerleader Melissa?
I'm doing great, and yes, it is very, very long overdue, and I'm so happy and privileged that we got this opportunity.
Yeah, we've been playing kind of the tag game for a while, and I finally got a hold of you tonight. So,
good. I'm so glad it worked out.
Well, let's start with the first question. Sure. Obviously, been a few years away from your TNA stint, and of course, a lot of the wrestling fans out there that follow my website, you know, obviously are big fans of WWE or TNA. So, you know, when you're not on television, people kind of wonder what's going on with you. So what have you been up to since departing ways with TNA?
Since departing ways with TNA, I have stayed very, very active in the independent wrestling circuit. I've had a lot of great, great bookings and opportunities. I'm probably the last original, like, OG of Shimmer. I'm probably the last and only person that's been on every single Shimmer show, and I've had the belt and lost the belt. I got to do some work for All Japan, which I think is probably one of the most interesting bookings I've ever had, because All Japan Pro Wrestling doesn't normally or typically do anything for with women wrestling, but this was a special tour in Taiwan, and I got to wrestle Makoto, she was a fantastic, fantastic girl. And I've had a lot of, like, really good experiences since. I got to do, you know, some work in Mexico. I'm also been a regular in Montreal, Canada for Femme Fatale, which is another all-female promotion that they have a very, very good, good crowd and very supportive fan base for female pro wrestling. So life has been excellent after TNA.
Yeah, no shortage of bookings.
Because
obviously, yeah. I know you got one of those shows I wanted to talk to you about was, of course, Shimmer coming up. And, of course, you've been affiliated with Shimmer for a long time. Mm-hmm. You've done a lot of their shows, their tapings, their DVD tapings. Mm-hmm. And now they're kind of branching out here in April. They're going to do an internet pay-per-view. I think you have an opportunity to wrestle for the Shimmer Championship. So I guess the question would be, with Shimmer kind of branching out now, and there's kind of been a move with a lot of the companies out there that's been around for a while to branch out, go to the internet pay-per-view, get a chance for people to order their product, mm-hmm. you know, through the internet. What's your thoughts on, because obviously, you know, Dave Prazak's business model has worked. He's been around a long time doing Shimmer, and now he's going to be going to the internet pay-per-view business. Just kind of your perspectives on Dave's move going into the internet pay-per-view field.
Well, I think it's very exciting. I'm so extremely proud of Dave. And I think, you know, for Dave and for, you know, an all-female company to be making a move like that shows how strong the market is out there for women wrestling, and a very unique form of women wrestling. You know, yes, we do see it on television with TNA, and yes, we see it on television with WWE. What Dave has done very well with Shimmer is, you know, try to offer a very unique product with female athletes, and I think it's just very, very exciting that Shimmer is still as strong as ever, and I think it's just so neat that, you know, the audience has grown so much that he's moving up and forward.
Hit the longevity of his product. I know there's a lot of people that thought, no, all women's show, that's not going to work. You know, he'll have a few tapings and then he'll be done. Kind of really going back to what people thought of TNA when it first started. You know, if they're going to be only pay-per-view, and they're kind of working backwards. They're not doing television shows to lead to pay-per-view. They're doing pay-per-view to get television. But Dave has had this business model of running his shows, taping, what, 3 or 4 DVDs at a time,
right,
and then putting them on the market. And it's been very successful. So it's going to be interesting to see the transition to internet pay-per-view. I guess that's the wave of the future, because You can put on an internet pay-per-view for relatively cheap from a business standpoint, and then offer it to the fans. So it's going to be interesting to see the type of reaction the internet community has, because the thing was, and I guess it's kind of subsided a little bit, but there were so many pay-per-views. There was all the WWE pay-per-views, there were all the TNA pay-per-views, and now there's Ring of Honor on pay-per-view. And now the good thing is, from the pay-per-view standpoint, is TNA has cut down on their pay-per-views, so maybe discretionary income for somebody, they could say, oh, maybe I'll try this Shimmer show. Right. I never watched Shimmer, or maybe I've got a DVD and I kind of like their product, and let's see what the Shimmer is all about.
Yeah, and compared to WWE, TNA, and ROH, the good thing that Shimmer has going for them is that it is a different and separate product from all three of those companies. So I think that's just very good and won't hurt any company. Or, it's one thing to put on, a show with a bunch of female wrestlers on it, but the shows that Dave has, has put on, has been, in general, the show in itself as a whole, he's done a very good job at creating a very unique product, in my opinion.
I definitely agree with you. And I just wanted to ask you kind of in general, because we have Shine down in Florida. They're running internet pay-per-views using all women. We have Women of Wrestling just popped up again in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And we're seeing more and more shows, obviously Shimmer we were talking about, all shows that are featuring all female wrestlers. I just wonder what your thoughts are kind of marketing that product right now, because obviously Dave's been very successful at it for so long. But obviously there is a need, or there is a product out there that people want to see athletic women actually wrestling in the ring.
Yeah, I think it's truly a niche product. And no matter what female company comes up or pops up, whatever, it's all about how you deliver the product. And Femme Fatale's done a wonderful job. Eve over in Europe have done a wonderful job. Shine is they're stepping up, making a name. And I couldn't be happier about that as a female wrestler myself, because, those are the kind of changes somebody like myself would want to see in industry.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, I don't mean to totally change the subject, but we were just talking, before we did the interview, because the buzz on the internet today, obviously, is the passing of Paul Bearer. Devastating news. I know it's hard for me to even kind of comprehend that we don't have Paul Bearer with us anymore, and obviously you've had a couple of encounters with him. I just, your general thoughts on Paul is, because you got a chance to know him a little bit better than we did, obviously. Just thoughts on Paul Bearer passing away.
Well, it's very hard to put into words, but like you said on Twitter, there's been so many positive responses, and I will attest to every single one of those. You had a friend for life the second you crossed that man's path. I mean, one of the sweetest people that I've ever met in the business, just very generous, very kind-hearted. And I'm not surprised on the responses and the amount of devastation people I have. I mean, we've lost a really, really good-hearted person in the business, and we're all very sad, and may he rest in peace.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And I had only one opportunity to talk to Paul.
Right.
It was an interview I did with him in 2011. I'm glad I got a chance to talk to him. I remember that conversation very well, and, of course, most of the conversation is available in the archives up at Gerwick.net. So if you are kind of looking to reflect a little bit on his career, and he was a very candid person. He was very open about anything you wanted to get into. A great interview, so definitely check that out. A little cheap plug there for Gerwick.net.
Well, but I mean, yeah, but I agree. He was a very, very open person, though. He was very open about everything.
And, of course, he was to be, honored at the Cauliflower Alley in April.
Oh, I know. That's going to be so hard. I assure you, he was so well-loved, and he's definitely going to get the, recognition and honor that he deserves at Cauliflower Alley this year.
I know there's also kind of an online movement suggesting that WWE put Paul Bearer in the Hall of Fame. And, of course, I think they pretty much have their roster set for this year, but I think they definitely could make the exception and put him in. And then I was saying to Melissa offline that I guess the sad thing was the guy that was definitely meant to induct The Undertaker into the Hall of Fame would be Paul Bearer, but, you know, unfortunately these things happen, and, you know, Paul, you know, Undertaker will get his opportunity to go in the Hall of Fame at some point when he decides to hang it up finally. And yeah, it is a very sad day, and definitely check out all the comments. There was so many tweets that were and Facebook postings,
and every single one of those is positive and true.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And he was a great guy, and he'll be sorely missed.
Extreme.
So definitely, I agree with you. Definitely, rest in peace.
Yeah.
Let's go back to a little bit with your career, and we were just talking about, you know, since you left TNA, and
sure.
How did that come about? How did the departure from TNA come about?
It really was, my contract expired and wasn't going to be renewed, and simple as that. It was, actually during which in the time, my contract was expiring had just so happened to be the exact same time frame when TNA was making a whole bunch of transitions, which was, basically Hulk Hogan coming into the company. And, it was just a matter of my contract expiring, and they were in the middle of all the changes, and it wasn't going to be renewed, and there was nothing ugly or anything. It was just, you know, a simple departure, really.
As time gone on, have you reached out to them? They reached out to you. Is there a chance we may see you return to TNA at some point?
My relationship with TNA and WWE has always been very good and very positive. And, you know, never say never in this business.
Now, somebody you've obviously ran into many times is Sarah Del Rey.
Mm-hmm.
She took the trainer job at FCW, the developmental territory. I just wondered if something like that would arise. Would that be something you want would interest you, or are you still want to plug along with your wrestling career, and that would be something maybe somewhere down the line you'd think about?
Actually, all of that. I'd be open to that. Definitely open to that in the future. I'm so proud of her. I mean, I congratulate Sarah on landing that position. That's a position that, you know, I mean, even though I know that her work will be missed by fans, she's so loved. And she's so respected in her work. I mean, what a dream job to, you know, get paid for what you love doing. What a dream job. I'm so proud of her. And, you know, like I said, I'm sure there's a lot of people that are going to miss seeing her live there's plenty. I'm sure you can get plenty of Sarah Del Rey, you know, on the internet. And, you know, she was on almost every single Shimmer episode as well, but absolutely, I think any female wrestler would definitely be open to having that as a career or as a career in the future after wrestling.
I guess that's a great thing about the internet now is you can check out people that they can kind of become of an occult following through the internet. They put matches on YouTube, and obviously
mm-hmm.
the independent promotions are pretty much have their own shows now that they can put on the internet. So
yeah.
And I know we were talking offline how, you know, back in the day it was like you pretty much had to get a videotape of something to watch it.
Oh,
and I remember having all those Coliseum videos of WWF back in the day.
Oh, I know.
And then obviously, you know, taping something off what TBS, watching the NWA, the Crockett promotion back in at that time, or taping the AWA or Wrestling Out of Canada, to even have it on tape, you know, or an independent promotion in the area to have that on tape.
Oh, and now it's so simple. I was telling you, you know, about, you know, I was also talking about that new feature, you know, that www.clickwrestle.com. I know it's a cheap plug, but they got this. You know, they're kind of going like the Netflix route. If you sign up for, do a monthly, it's like a monthly subscription, and then it's just, you know, unlimited streaming. And, you know, they're the site that they have the most videos and all of my matches on there. You know, anybody out there who's a hardcore Shimmer fan, you know, all of Shimmer is on there. All of Femme Fatale is on there. So, you know, and like we were saying before, a huge market for female wrestling.
And obviously, a lot of the footage that we grew up watching maybe end up on the WWE Network. So it's interesting to see. That's kind of the next transition. We'll see a lot of the old footage.
Well,
the
they just did
wrestling.
That old school Raw the other night. Did you watch that?
Well, I'm watching and I'm thinking, what's old school? Okay, they got the graphics and they have the music, and but it still felt like a Raw from any week. You'd be watching a Raw, really.
I think the only thing I kind of popped for was the old school altered WWE logo.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and the music. The music I kind of popped for, too.
Yeah, the music and the ring. They did the old school ring. I liked the ring. It looked really nice on camera.
I was getting all kinds of, you know, they brought the graphics back, you know, the logo plus their fancy font they'd have back in the day with how they would spell the talent. They put like WWE Intercontinental Champion or WWF Intercontinental Champion or Superstar. So that was,
we know it's still,
but otherwise,
got to give them A for effort though.
Yeah. You have 3 hours a week. I mean, you have 52 weeks. You have 3 hours a week. That's 150 hours. I mean, they should probably do theme Raws more often, really.
Well, change
is
good. I enjoyed it. Change was good. I'm sure it brought a lot of memories for a lot of people out there. They're like, oh, cool. I remember him.
Now, let's go backtrack a little bit with you. Absolutely. Let's actually backtrack to the beginning, because I don't know if everybody knows your story, because you obviously, your father was a wrestler and your uncle was a wrestler, and obviously you trained with them to become a wrestler. I guess kind of give us the background, the family background. Because do you feel like you were ultimately, you know, born or are destined to be a pro wrestler?
We're cursed.
Well, that's one way to look at it.
Sometimes it's funny. Sometimes I do. Sometimes with as crazy as this business is, sometimes I do feel like it's a curse. But it's in my blood, and it is in my blood, and I can't get away from it. You know, even when times are tough, or, you know, and I feel like I need to take a step back, you know, somehow pro wrestling always seems to come back in and reach me by the throat, be like, oh no, you're not going anywhere yet. You know, just kidding. You know, I always get suckered back in somehow, you know, and the truth is that I love this business to death, and, you know, and I'm still moving forward. But going back with my history, yes, my father was a pro wrestler. His name is Doug Anderson, and my uncle is Billy Anderson, and they wrestled as the Fabulous Andersons in Southern California, mostly working for Carl Lauer, for people who know him, he's the president of the Cauliflower Alley Club that actually just recently stepped down. But, you know, Carl Lauer worked and used my dad and Billy Anderson very often, and I'm sure Carl's got some old videos of them. And if you were to talk to my dad today, let me tell you, he will break out the same old story that I roll my eyes to every single time. Like, you know, I used to show up at the wrestling arena with my gear bag in one arm and you in the other arm, and I was 2 years old. And Carl Lauer will brag about, like, oh, I've known Melissa since she was a baby, and I changed her diapers. And I'll be like, stop, you're embarrassing me, leave me alone. But moving on, so wrestling was kind of a very normal thing. My dad and I used to watch pro wrestling together. That was our father-daughter bonding thing. Absolutely loved it. WWF fan back in the day. But my dad was involved having his friends come over for barbecues. It was there. Billy Anderson stayed with the wrestling business as my father really like did not. And Billy Anderson did a lot. He did a lot of, like, work for WWF. He did a lot of ring announcing for them. Just about everybody knows Billy Anderson. It's weird. Everybody knows who he is. And he had a school in San Bernardino with Jesse Hernandez. And my dad and I went to go visit him, and I was 15 years old. And something that kind of turned into a hobby, it became a hobby, almost kind of something very exciting and kind of a escape from life to go to these independent wrestling shows that my uncle would run, or simply just going to a practice and me getting in the ring a little bit. And it's something I very much enjoyed. Growing up, I was very, very athletic. I was actually even on the high school wrestling team. I wanted to be on the football team, but they wouldn't let females do it. And pro wrestling just seemed like a very fitable outlet for my aggression or for my power or my tomboyness, whatever you want to call it. And it's, you know, it started off as something, you know, fun and exciting, and I honestly didn't expect it to go the route and take me on the adventures it took me in life. I became, as I was training, I was a manager for a tag team called the Ballard Brothers, and that's where the cheerleader Melissa gimmick came from. Even though the Ballard Brothers characters were hockey players and there are no cheerleaders in hockey, I was their cheerleader. I became their cheerleader, and it just stuck. And I myself wasn't a big fan of the cheerleader. Being a tomboy, I wasn't really a big fan of being a cheerleader at first either. And no, I was not originally a cheerleader. However, it was something that I think worked very well because, you know, when you think cheerleader Melissa, if you're not familiar with pro wrestling, people expect something completely the opposite of me. I believe that. They believe something completely separate. Instead, it's not a, you know, bubbly blonde, you know, cheerleader that we would see in movies or on TV. You've got this, you know, kind of tough, you know, brunette chick that comes out. And I think it's what's helped make me marketable is you expect one thing, but get another thing, but kind of like it anyway. And I think a lot of people were kind of attracted to, like, you know, the tough cheerleader concept. And as my pro wrestling career progressed, I would say my most important training of my life was when I got my first contract to Japan. When I turned 18 years old, I lived in Japan and worked for the company Arzion, which is a all-female promotion out there. And my main trainer was Mariko Yoshida. And that's where I got my most valuable kind of, you know, Japanese-style tough training, which is what a lot of people are familiar with and what I've tried to bring back to the United States. And, my career just kind of taken me on a series of adventures, in the, you know, over the past 10 years since then.
I just wondered if you ever, I'm sure you crossed your mind, if you weren't been born into wrestling, what do you think you'd be doing today?
I get that question a lot, and honestly, I think I would probably have something to be involved with music. Growing up, I played the piano, and I love playing the piano. And I'm fairly decent, but even though I don't have a piano at home anymore, and I wish I could practice it every day. But playing the piano was actually one of my first loves. And
awesome.
I think I would have something to do with that. I'm not sure exactly what, but I think it would have something to do music related.
And you were transitioning beautifully into my next question when you're talking about your training, and then you went into Japan. So I was going to ask you about your training in Japan, and you were talking, you know, getting an opportunity with All Japan, because I remember, you know, when I was growing up, All Japan Women in the 80s, that was like a real big, serious wrestling federation,
yeah.
And then, of course, it went away, and then there really wasn't any wrestling in Japan for the women.
Right. By the time I went to Japan, female wrestling was almost kind of at a decline, but still very active, just probably not as great as the good old days, let's say. When I was talking about All Japan, you know, it was like I was, you know, talking about before, it's an all male company, and very rarely, if ever, do they ever do anything with females. So that's why I say it was probably one of my most interesting bookings, because knowing that it just imagine, it's kind of being my spot. You know, I'm in the locker room and I'm looking at all these, you know, famous longtime Japanese stars. And I'm like, how am I here? Like Akebono, you know, Muda's walking by. It's just like, how am I in this locker room right now? This is awkward, you know? And I remember at the hotel, I was working out on the bicycle, and, you know, Muda came on the bicycle next to me and started pedaling too. And I'm just like, I can't believe I'm in Taiwan on doing cardio next to Muda doing cardio. That was probably the most surreal tour of my entire life. It really was.
And as I recall, were you also training with Taylor from Tough Enough?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to veer off there. It was, so what happened was, it was me and Taylor Matheny from Tough Enough. She was the first runner-up. And it was her and I pretty much against Japan and taking on these Japanese adventurers. We arrived there and we were prepared for, you know, whatever they were throwing at us. And it was very interesting to learn how Japanese training and how wrestling is treated out there. And it's treated like a sport. In the United States, and what I mean by that is that, you know, for example, in the United States, there's a lot of people bouncing out a real job and going to wrestling practice at a school compared to when we were contracted with them. That was our job. We lived at the dojo in a dorm room on the second floor, and we had our room and we had our responsibilities, and we had training from, we actually had two different sets of training from, with an hour break in between. There were times, you know, it was a 6-hour day, and there were times, you know, it was an 8-hour day, and it was just long. It was treated like a sport, and Japanese wrestling in general is treated like a sport, and given the attention like a sport in the media and in the news or the newspaper. And that's what it was. It was our, you know, it was like our 9-to-5 job. And after practice was over, you know, we would clean up, and I remember our number one thing to do was rush over to the internet cafe. And by the time we got to internet cafe, it was just midnight in the United States, and we had a chance to tell our loved ones goodbye over AOL Instant Messenger, if you remember that.
Oh yeah.
It wasn't, well, not even AOL Instant Messenger. How about AOL Express? Remember that? If you would like download, yeah. You know, to tell our loved ones goodnight. And that was the exciting lifestyle. We had wrestling shows about, we wrestled about 13 wrestling shows a month, and we traveled on a tour bus, and it was probably one of the most fun and adventurous times of our lives that we'll never forget and change our lives forever.
I was just real curious. I know she never went on to, you know, either WWE or TNA, but whatever happened to Taylor?
I believe she's a very successful makeup artist in Southern California.
Okay, good.
She's doing very well. We keep in light contact, and every now and then, you know, we talk about, you know, some of the little things that we used to love in Japan. Like there was a certain, you know, favorite instant noodle soup that, you know, we were crazy for, or we would crack up about the internet cafe days, but. You know, she's doing great, and she's happy, and her career is going well. And, you know, I kind of miss her in the wrestling business. But, of course, you know, we want what's best for everybody. We want all of our friends to be happy.
Absolutely. And for people listening, you know, where are they now? Because you always like to do that every now and then, find out where so-and-so are. Because, obviously, some people leave the business, and you really never hear from them again unless you – actually do a search, or you start asking around, say, oh, what happened to this person, so-and-so. So it's good that obviously she landed on her feet and she's doing very well. That's great to hear.
Oh, yeah. She's healthy and happy, doing very well with her career.
Great. Talk a little bit about working with Awesome Kong in TNA, and then we're getting a lot of Twitter questions.
Okay.
What was your reaction to see her, you know, show up in WWE as Karma?
Oh, not surprising. Not surprising at all. She deserves every bit of,
accolades?
Yeah, she deserves every bit of it. Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I absolutely love about Karma or Awesome Kong or Amazing Kong is I would have absolutely loved to accomplish what she has accomplished. And what I mean by that is the barriers that she has broken in women's wrestling. I mean, she's broken so many barriers. I mean, she's absolutely not your typical diva. I mean, she's a whole separate product that you cannot copy Karma. You cannot duplicate her. You know, she has taken on the biggest challenges of her life and just conquered it like no other female could. And she's definitely one of the strongest females I know today.
Where do you see her career going? Because obviously she had the run in TNA, and then she went to WWE, and then didn't work out, and they end up releasing her. And I know right now she's working with Shine, and she's doing other independent shows. Where do you kind of see her going, or her career?
I wouldn't be surprised to see her back on television soon, to be honest. I mean, yeah, I mean, she went to TNA and to WWE, and then, you know, she went through whatever she went through. But like I said, she's one of the strongest females I know out there. I would not be surprised to see her on television very soon.
Well, I know you worked with Dutch Mantel in TNA.
Yes.
Just wondering what's your thoughts on Dutch showing up in WWE as a manager again.
Oh, my gosh. I think I danced and jumped like a ridiculous ballerina when I saw him on there. I was so happy. I thought it was probably one of the greatest things I ever seen in my life, seeing him on there. It absolutely great, and you could not have picked a better man for that spot, because I know Dutch like that, and I know he can sell. I know how he can like sell himself or sell whatever he wanted to sell, and you know, get his point across. And he's just got such a way. I mean, what you see on television is Dutch Mantel. That's him. And for him, and for WWE to give him a role that is just so fitting for him, I was laughing. I was happy. I was like, this is the greatest thing. This is Dutch. It's him. It's really him.
And it was so odd too, because obviously if you've been following Dutch, obviously he lost his granddaughter tragically.
Yeah, I know.
And it was so good. It was so good to see him. I know he's been fighting the laws in Tennessee and getting them changed, which is great. And then to see him show up on WWE television again, as he's always been a great television character. So it's so good to see Dutch get a role again, and especially one they're pushing right now, predominant role with Jack Swagger, because it looks like Jack Swagger is going to get the world title championship at WrestleMania. So that's just tremendous for Dutch.
Oh, I love it. I could not be happier. I love Dutch Mantel to death. He's a great guy. And not only am I happy for him being on WWE, but gosh, I just couldn't be more happy about the role, because it's just so fitting. It's just so fitting. I mean, they were spot on with that. And and like you said, you know, he went through a lot of like horrible challenge, you know, with his granddaughter. I mean, that devastated me. You never want to see somebody you care about in pain, and we never want to hear about tragedy about that. And, you know, that's got to be a tough subject, but I mean, I couldn't be happier. This is such a great thing he's got going on right now. I couldn't be happier for him. I love him to death.
Yeah, we interviewed him. He was a great character to talk to. I'm glad to see him back on television. I always liked him back in the day when he was wrestling, you know, WWF manager way back in the day. So it's great to see him back. I remember him as a Jayhawk back in the 80s.
Oh, Lord.
The tag team. So,
oh, my gosh. That's Mantel. He's such a trip. There were times, I'll tell you, like backstage at TNA, I don't think I've ever been so scared in my life. I was walking down the hallway, and then he turned around the corner, and he started like snapping his bullwhip down. I was like, oh my god! I think that was his thing. You know, he knows how to operate a bullwhip. Like, and I was so scared. And he looked like a real life Yosemite Sam, like running around with like a bullwhip. Well, and I was just like, what is wrong with you? Stop that. Stop it. He's like, what? You know, and he would cut a promo on me, and I was like, oh my gosh, you're freaking me out. You're scary. I'm like, I didn't ever want to make him angry or come after me with a bullwhip.
He's a great guy. We're very happy for him. And now, another name associated with TNA, obviously a guy who always gets a lot of heat, but maybe sometimes rightfully so, and maybe sometimes not, but obviously he was there when you were working there, was Vince Russo. Obviously, he was head of creative for a long time, and he got a lot of blame for the product. Some people were very critical of the product. Some people were critical of the ratings. I just wondered how your dealings were with Vince Russo, and do you think maybe he got too much of the blame, the right amount of the blame? Just your overall perspective on Vince Russo.
I don't know, and it's hard to say, you know, answer to the blame or not blame, because – at the same time, you know, I've had some really good conversations with Vince Russo on times we've had to share a flight home on the West to the West Coast. And I understand his perspective. You know, I know there's a lot of people that would be very, very angry about his decisions, but what he was, you know, he was somebody that, you know, pushed the button and pushed the limits to making, you know, to making a very edgy product and getting people to watch this extremely edgy product, you know, whether people liked it or not. And that was you know, like him or not, that is his style. That's Vince Russo's style. And he will push buttons and, you know, push people to the edge and, you know, come up with these crazy ideas to get as much viewership as he can for the company. But, you know, every writer's trying to do that and every writer's got his own style. But, you know, that's who he was. And he never, you know, one thing I got to respect him for is that he never took a back seat to that no matter what. You know, he stuck to his guns all the time and, you know, and he was going to go through with it, his decisions, and fight for them. So, I mean, I definitely respect him as a writer because I know that's not an easy position. And, oh, my, I don't think I can handle, you know, all the heat and grief that he got from you know, half the world. Half the world, three-fourths of the world. But, you know, that's who he was, and he didn't apologize for it.
Yeah, he came up with some very strange storylines. I remember there's always a criticism on him. And obviously, we're talking kind of the creative process, and, of course, Dutch Mantel was an agent for the Knockouts at that time, especially when the Knockouts were doing really well.
Right.
They were like the highest-rated segments back in the, at that time.
Right.
And, I just wondered, at that period, you know, when you were working there, how the creative process worked, and did you have much input into your character, your storyline, or was it pretty much they said, hey, here's what we want to do? And we'll go in this direction.
Yeah, that's a lot of questions. At the time frame that you're talking about, Dutch Mantel, the Knockout division was the roles in TNA were kind of divided. Like Russo kind of wrote for another group, and Dutch wrote for another group, and Dutch was the Knockouts. You know, he was one of the main supporters of the Knockouts at the time. And as far as my character is actually kind of a much longer story. There's a lot of people that think that, you know, it started at TNA, and it actually did it. It actually started at WWE. I don't know. Do you remember the Muhammad Hassan era?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So, So, going a little bit backwards just before that, it was looking really well. I almost started working for WWE because they had came up with in their minds the exact same character. Now, what happened was that I was approached on it, and they asked me what my look was, and I told them, you know, what my ethnicity was. And basically what happened is that what they explained to me at the time is that it wasn't just going to be a singles wrestler and a manager. What was explained to me at the time was that it was originally supposed to be a tag team. It was originally supposed to be a group. It was going to be two wrestlers, a manager, and a female. And the ideas were still up in the air. The wrestlers were still in, I believe it was OVW at the time, so the wrestlers were still in developmental. So it was still being processed, the idea of it. And with the idea of having a female in there, that was the role that I was to fill. Now, as time went on, and, you know, there was a time where they actually assigned me with a writer, and I went to multiple WWE events backstage, and I was in full Raisha gear doing my character, and things looked like they were going to go that direction. But then the turn of events was... they decide, instead of being a straight Arabic group, they wanted to change it to an Arabic American wrestler, which was Muhammad Hassan, the Arab American route. So with those changes being done, it did not involve the second wrestler, and it did not involve the female. Moving on to TNA. TNA had actually came up with in their own minds the exact same character, and word had gotten to TNA that I actually did that character for a little bit at WWE, not on television, but I was actually doing that for them. And, you know, when that came about and, you know, and we sampled the character and it worked out. So that's kind of the backstory of Raisha Saeed. She actually started in WWE, not TNA.
Wow.
Yeah.
So at the time it was going to be Hassan and Daivari as a tag team? And
No, Daivari was still going to be the manager. It was actually Hassan and Snuka's son.
Deuce.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So it was going to be those two. And this is, and I'm just going straight off what WWE office told me. You know, it was going to, and I knew Snuka's son. I didn't know Muhammad at the time. Or I don't really know him personally at all. I never met him. But it was supposed to be those two as a tag team, Daivari as the manager, and then me as the female manager, whatever you want to say. So that was the group they originally pitched to me and the idea they were originally going with. And it wasn't an Arab-American group. It was just a straight-up Arabic group.
That's too bad they didn't work out. I liked that character, and I liked the music. I thought they had something with it, and then, of course, it went in, I guess, the wrong direction, and then they ended up just canceling it altogether, which is too bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's just really tough. It's just really tough. It'll always be a sore and sensitive subject with Americans in general.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you have to really be careful sometimes.
I've been asking about the management structure, obviously TNA with the creative process. We talked about Vince Russo and Dutch Mantel. What was your thoughts working for Dixie Carter? And Dixie Carter is an administrator of a wrestling promotion.
I mean, to be honest, when we would go to work, there wasn't too much interaction with Dixie Carter because when you're there on talent, we're mostly interacting with the agents and the writers. But Dixie was always very nice and very sweet to me. Very, very lovely person.
How are you doing physically? Obviously, you've been in the business for a long time. You've worked a lot of matches. You worked very physical matches. I just wondered, you know, how are you doing physically after all these years in the business?
Doing pretty good. I'm not Superwoman anymore. I'm not Wonder Woman anymore. But, yeah, I mean, physically, I'm doing great. I've actually, within the past year, I've dropped almost 40 pounds. I've completely,
wow.
Yeah, I've completely reshaped and reinvented myself. I've changed my eating habits and my lifestyle, and I almost kind of, I feel like a whole different person. Sometimes I look back and I'm like, wow, I don't even look like that anymore. It's like, wow, that looks nothing like me anymore. But
you look tremendous.
Thank you, thank you. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, good old fashioned diet and exercise, but I feel great and I feel like a whole new person. I feel wonderful, and now, you know, I'm not gonna lie, I have my fair share of injuries that I've dealt with, and from time to time still have to deal with. But I feel like I'm a much smarter in treating them or being able to work out and exercise around the injuries and being able to take care of myself for the purpose of longevity in a wrestling career.
Any special diet? High protein, low carbs?
Well, when I'm not dieting, there's nothing special about my diet. I've changed. What I did is I became pescatarian. And for those who don't know what pescatarian is, it's basically vegetarian plus fish or seafood.
Okay.
So I'm completely meatless. Tuna, fish, seafood, shrimp, crab, all of that is okay.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so I've been completely meatless for the past 2.5 years. And when I'm dieting, yes, you know, it's high protein and low carbs. It's mostly vegetables and whatever seafood I choose to eat. But everyday lifestyle, on the days I'm not dieting, of course I'll have a piece of bread or have a cake or, you know, a piece of candy here and there. Just the only thing is that I don't eat meat. That's it.
You got to live. You got to enjoy life, too. You know,
yeah,
I do.
It was not a hard lifestyle to adjust to. It wasn't complicated at all, really. I would say actually Mexican restaurants are the most accommodating because anything that does have meat in it, you just ask them to replace with beans, and all is fine.
Right.
I hadn't had any problem adjusting to this lifestyle. It's worked out very well, and it kind of forces me to make better decisions on the days I'm not dieting anyway.
Right. Now, one of the common questions I'm getting here on my Twitter feed is there anybody you've obviously worked with a lot of the biggest names in wrestling. Is there anybody that you've yet to work that you're still looking forward to working in the future?
You know, unfortunately, I think this person has retired, but back in 2002, when I was living in Japan, the one person I wanted a singles match was Lioness Asuka. And she's like the OG of female wrestling out there, and great. I mean, just a great worker. I think she was in her early 40s when I was out there, and gosh, she was tough like no other. I mean, she was the main event every time, and she owned it. She was great. I really wish and still wish today that I had a singles match against her.
I just wonder now, obviously you had the run in TNA, and of course you almost had the opportunity with WWE. What are your goals from here? What are you looking forward to accomplishing still in your career?
Well, obviously I still hope to do some stuff with television in the future. I mean, that's it's still a goal of mine. Like I said, I feel like I've kind of reinvented myself lately, and I want to take on new projects. I mean, speaking of new projects, I got some other wrestling related stuff in the works that is dealing with television. I'm not per se that I am the wrestling person in it, but I think at the same time, I'm still kind of finding my path in life, and I just gotta thank pro wrestling and thank my dad and thank Billy Anderson. You know, like I said, you say that you wonder, is it destined, is it meant to be? Well, sometimes I feel it's a curse. Sometimes I feel it's a curse, and you know, when I want to get out of it, it pulls me right back in. And the truth is I love pro wrestling. I more than love it. It's who I am, and I can't deny it. And every time I try to, it comes and finds me, and I was like, oh, yes, I made a mistake. You know, let's do this. Let's take this on. So, pro wrestling me, it's a marriage. It's a marriage. We have our problems.
The good, the bad, and the ugly.
The good, the bad, and the ugly.
It all goes together sometimes.
But, I mean, what do you want me to say, you know? It is what it is, and it's life, and we got to continue to, you know, follow our dreams and go for our goals.
Yep.
So it makes things exciting.
Absolutely. Chris from Twitter wants to know, what was your reaction when you were the number two rated best-looking diva according to the Gerwick Hot 100?
Yeah, why wasn't I number one? No, I'm kidding.
Of course, that'd be the obvious question,
hey,
right?
Why was I number one, huh? Talk to me. We're on the phone now, so I need an answer. I'm kidding.
You put me on the spot here.
Extremely flattered, and I was absolutely not expecting that at all. So I extremely flattered. So thank you.
And I will say, this year we're going to have a Hot 100. I think we're going to do it annually, a Hot 100.
Wow.
And I think what we're going to do is we're going to do something a little bit different probably in the summertime in July or August. So stay tuned to Gerwick.net, you know, cheap plug there. We're going to change how we go about determining the Hot 100. And, of course, it's very difficult because there are so many women out there and a lot of women that I don't personally know, or obviously I make friends with them on Twitter or Facebook, and, you know, a promoter might send me a picture of so-and-so, and you know, they look good, and that's great. But yet there's so many women out there I don't know. So just getting the field together to make a list like that. Because, you know, as soon as I put the list out, they say, well, where's so-and-so? How come this person? Well, you put this person on the list and not this person on the list.
And you know what?
It's
and I
difficult.
Do I do recall reading some of those comments, too.
Yeah.
So, gosh. So, yeah, I'm glad I don't have that position.
maybe I opened up a can of worms
you
I shouldn't
might
have opened.
Have. I don't know. And another thing too is that with women, as compared to men, you know, women are constantly reinventing themselves and changing their looks, and sometimes sure. It's even hard to find an updated photo of people. You know.
Yes. Right.
Like, you don't know what's current. I mean, was that last year? Was that this year? Do they look like that now? Do I base judge on this? You know, I mean, girls reinvent themselves a lot more often than men do.
And I'm always looking for pictures, even for the diva of the day, because I want to have current photos. And I've got some of my photographer friends out there that commonly, you know, go to shows and they photograph the girls and the guys too. And they will say, oh, well, if you're looking for somebody, let me know. Or they just send me a group of pictures. And that's a lot of times I'll get like 10 pictures of people I've never heard of before, and that's the first exposure I have with so-and-so. So that's the way it used to be back in the day, too, with promoters. You know, it's word of mouth. You send your pictures, you send your videos, you know, you send it out, and that's how you get noticed, right? It works the same way with the way we do this list. So, you know, and what we do, too, is we take suggestions, because as much as I like to stay up on things, I don't know everything about wrestling. I don't know all the territories. I don't know all the promoters. I know a lot of the promoters because I've been doing this for forever, it seems like, but since 1997. So I know a lot of the promoters, and they tell me, you know, I talk to them a lot, and they tell me about so-and-so, and this one's doing well. And they say, you know, this one may have an opportunity, may get a developmental deal. Watch out. And sometimes it happens. Like Mercedes out on the East Coast.
Right.
She got a job, and people were telling me about her. And within 6 weeks, she got signed.
Right.
Because I remember somebody, a former WWE wrestler would tell me, watch out for this girl. She's probably going to make it. She's really good. She's very talented. And all of a sudden, she's what, Sasha Banks in Florida Championship Wrestling. So just the way it goes sometimes. But
you really never know what's going to happen in this business. You really never know.
Absolutely. Well, going back to your career here, what do you think the immediate future holds for you beyond this year? Now look into your crystal ball. What do you think the future holds for you?
I think the crystal ball holds a lot of exciting, lots more female wrestling, a lot of bookings on high-profile, all-female events. We're going to hear about a lot of successful shows with Femme Fatale in Montreal. I know they're going to make a very big impact this year. They got some great, exciting matches going on. A girl that actually I've never wrestled before, it'll be our first time in the ring, that a lot of people seem to be very excited about is me versus Jessica Havoc. And she was, I believe, number three or number four on the PWI top 50. I mean, she's a force to be reckoned with, and she's made an excellent, excellent name for herself out there.
Absolutely.
And with Shimmer, and yeah, there's going to be a lot of good female wrestling this year. I promise you that.
On the flip side, do you have any regrets? Anything you'd like to go back and change, you know, looking back at your career?
Gosh, and this is where you would insert joke here, but I can't think of anything right now.
Well, that's fair.
Let's see. I regret denying wrestling, and I'm going to make wrestling work. I'm going to make this marriage work. I don't know. I got no regrets. It's been quite the adventure, and trust me, this adventure's not over yet, and I'm sure we're going to have another interview in the future to talk about that.
We will definitely, and we will make sure that we get it done. Rather than playing tags, for sure. I just wonder do you have a favorite match, favorite highlight in your career? You kind of, you know, reflect on the full body of work. Is something kind of stand out? You know, looking back at your career.
I actually have a few favorite matches that I would absolutely love for people to check out, and one of them is the recent match that Haley Hatred and myself had at Femme Fatale. That match was truly special. We haven't seen each other in a long time, and she spent a lot of time in Japan. And since she's very educated on the Japanese style, and I am too from my past training. It was so nice to. That was a special match that Haley and I connected on Japanese psychology, if you will. It went to the end. There was it was a tie. You know, it's a spoiler if you care, but it was a match that got a lot of good reviews. And I just remember after that match, we kind of like looked at each other and it's like, oh my gosh, you know, why haven't we done this before? It was a really special night. And another one of my favorite matches, and all these matches are also on FlickWrestle.com, is me versus Yumi Oka. And I really love her style. I'm a big fan of her style. Another person's style, I didn't get to wrestle her much back in 2002, but another one of my favorite workers, my favorite style is Michiko Omakai. I loved how she carried herself in the ring, and for being extremely feminine looking, but extremely aggressive at the same time. And that's a lot of the qualities that Yumi displays in the ring as well. So I'm just a very, very big fan of femininity mixed with pure aggression. And that's the one thing I'll always appreciate about women's wrestling and try to bring to the table.
Any interesting road stories or any, have you ever been the subject of a rib or got anybody really good?
Gosh, you know, and I probably got a million and one, and then you put people on the spot and their mind goes blank. One that comes to mind though, and this is a small one, but one that comes to mind was, I was backstage at WWE and, it's very common for a lot of the workers when there's downtime. A lot of people like to sit around the monitor and watch the show as live as it's happening right there in the spot. And in between matches and whatnot, they show a lot of commercials. Well, at the time, a commercial had came on. Remember when Kane was doing that that scary movie?
Yes.
Yeah. I can't remember the movie to save my life, but he was doing that horror movie.
Nobody can.
Yeah, he was doing that horror movie. Kane was doing that horror movie.
See No Evil?
Yeah, I think so. And that commercial just played, and right when the commercial finished, I turned around, and Kane was right there, and I screamed because it scared me. I had no idea he was right there behind me. And then pretty much everybody saw what happened, and they cracked up laughing, and I kind of embarrassed myself. But I mean, the timing just couldn't have been perfect. For
That's
me to
awesome.
Get scared over, you know, because you see the commercial and think nothing of it. And, you know, the finish of the commercial is a close up of, you know, Kane just looking so evil. And then I literally like bumped into him and freaked out because he was the last person I was expecting to be an inch behind me.
I just wondered in general, do women rib other women as much as the men?
Of course, of course.
Okay. Absolutely.
Sometimes I wonder if it's even like worse than the men. And, yeah. Oh gosh, they're crazy. These girls are crazy.
Well, wrapping up here with Leader Melissa, and I do appreciate your time, and I'm glad we finally got a chance to hook up. And before we let you go here, go ahead and plug your social media. I know you're big on Twitter. You've got a place on Facebook, official website, YouTube channel. Go ahead and plug yourself.
Cool, thank you. Well, my official website is www.cheerleadermelissa.com. You can find all of my wrestling matches on clickwrestle.com, and I'm sure ClickWrestle will satisfy all your female wrestling needs with all the Shimmer and Femme Fatale and Eve. My Twitter account, I actually have two. But I use one more than the other, but they're both very active, so you're welcome to follow either one. My Twitter account is Future Legend with the letters CF at the end, so Future Legend CF, and CF means stands for Chick Fight. And my other Twitter account is CheerLDR Melissa. And that one, like I said, is still very active. My Facebook account is Facebook.com/FutureLegendMelissa. And I believe you can submit to my feeds, and which in most cases, my feeds on Facebook come from Twitter. Anyway, so I would say Twitter is the best bet. I do not have an Instagram. in case people are wondering. So, but yes, I got two Twitter accounts and my Facebook account and Click Wrestle.
And obviously with your schedule, you have Shimmer coming up in April. You have the Cauliflower Alley. And you just were telling me you're going to Puerto Rico as well.
Yes, yeah, going to Puerto Rico. I'm very excited because I've never been to Puerto Rico. And I think that's one of the things I really wish I had the opportunity to wrestle in Puerto Rico when wrestling was at its height. Remember that? Remember that era,
right.
The Puerto Rico era?
IWA, WWC down there. Absolutely.
All that competitive.
Yep.
Yeah, I really wish I had the opportunity to see that. That's one thing I wish I would have seen at one point in my career. But nonetheless, I'm very excited about going.
Great. Well, Melissa, again, we appreciate your time. It's been a pleasure talking to you. I'm finally, we got a chance to hook up. And we'll definitely do it again real soon, I'm sure.
I hope so.
Thanks, Melissa.
Thank you so much.